Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals. Welcome to the Animal Control Report with another special edition of Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week with none other than Charles Hernandez from Texas. Charles Hernandez has been doing this job since 1906. He started as a dog catcher and then he's evolved into an animal control officer. Real talk though, man. How long you been doing this job, bro?
Since 1996, man.
Oh, 96. A lot of our listeners weren't even born yet.
You know, and that makes me sick because I heard a lot of people tell me that, like, oh, dude, I wasn't even born yet when you started. And I was like, yeah.
20.
Yep. 96, so 20, man. I started in 96 in Lubbock, man, in Lubbock, Texas. That's where I'm all from. Right. That's where I was born and raised, was Lubbock, Texas, man.
Okay.
And I started there in 96 and I worked there for 5 years. And then, I was 26 when I started. Now I'm going to be 54 on the 12th of this month.
How much longer do you want to go?
Bro, I can still go, man. I can still run. I'm still moving around. I'm still doing pretty good. Well,
you sent me that video of the bull. Was that 2 years ago or last year?
That was last year.
Tell the story for our listeners so they know, man.
So we have in a certain area over here in Fort Worth, and on the east side of Fort Worth, they have they have, like, it's kind of hard to describe, but they're livestock's allowed in Fort Worth if you have the property. So we have a lot of people that come from the motherland, from Mexico.
Okay.
That live up here. And so they have they bring a lot of their culture up here, and the stuff that they do is like Mexican rodeos. And so apparently this bull was a Corrente bull, which is a Mexican fighting bull type steer or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, he got out and he was actually feral. It was like he was living in a wooded area, like a wooded area by an elementary school. And so, man, we had to go out there and get him. We finally got him, though.
He came at you quick, though.
He came at me real quick. And, you know, I don't know if you're seeing that video. I had one of those. It's like a little gun that shoots out these little screamers, like little firecracker things, you know. Uh-huh. And that thing shot off and hit and bounced off his head and hit the ground. You can see like a little puff of smoke.
I have the video saved. I'm going to try to find it. And then if I can find it, I'm going to edit it in so people can see it on YouTube and Spotify.
It was funny at first. Well, it was funny, but, you know, during the time, it was kind of scary because he came straight at me. And I'm pretty good with that stuff. I know what to do, you know. People think I'm crazy, but I always tell people, man, if you have something charging at you like that, you just kind of let them get as close as they possibly can and just fall to the ground. Huh. And they'll go right over you. They'll go right over you, man. I've had it happen to me before, but so luckily,
like play dead thing, like just
yeah. This guy, he kind of veered off. You can see that video. He kind of veered off to the right of me, to the right, and yeah, man. But we finally got him though. He was something else. He was something else to catch. It was literally like hunting a deer. That's what it was, because he was in a wooded area and he could hear you and he would see you and he would just take off. And I mean, it was. It was pretty intense. Yeah, pretty scary.
So as you think about, like, yeah, I mean, we interviewed a couple, man, I even interviewed my daughter. She's 12 now. So we got all people from all, like, for the ACO week. I was trying to, you know, mix it up a little bit. So as somebody that you know, you've been in this industry for a while, we've had a couple other people that have some experience. What is something that you would give, like, advice to a new person coming in that wants to be an ACO? Because this job now, it's different than what it was. Like, I remember when I started, I worked with guys that were like, look, man, I was working in the impound lot. I was working at the garbage truck or the dump or whatever. And this was a promotion. This was a little bit of a step up or whatever. But now, dude, you get people that want to come be an ACO. So what would you tell somebody? What would you tell somebody that's like, I'm trying to get into this?
I always tell people, that try to get in here, learn your laws, first of all, learn them inside and out, especially your city ordinances, wherever city you're going to work for, plus your state laws. But the main thing, I had a really good trainer. His name was Jim Owens. Okay, I'll never forget his name. His name was Jim Owens. Good guy, man. Good guy. I used to call him Red. And he trained me real good. And the one thing that he taught me was to not to take anything too personal. That's what a lot of this, I see a lot of people doing this. And I see a lot of people that do take this job too personal, and they take it home and they take it personal. They take their work life to their home life, and that kind of messes them up, And I always try to tell the newbies, I try to tell the rookies, hey, you know what? This is a very fulfilling job. Don't expect too many pats on the backs, but you will get a pat on the back, I mean, I'm not saying you won't whenever, but you will eventually. But don't expect, parades and ribbons and everything when something goes good for you. And especially don't take it personal if something doesn't go right. And I think that has a lot to do with it. People can't wear their feelings on their sleeve.
And I mean, that's what we're doing right now, is giving you that pat on your back, because we appreciate it here on the Animal Control Report, man. We want to make sure that your stories are told. And you and I, we've talked over the years, man, and you're someone I consider a friend, and it's cool to be able to, like, in these moments, share some of just the different things that people don't get a chance to hear all the time. And you've actually even been on the show a couple different times. What is something for you that is like, when you think of, when did it click for you? So you started in 96. They didn't even have cell phones back in the day. You had matte
Oh,
books.
no.
You had matte books. You had pedal cars and horses. You had a horse and buggy. No, but in all seriousness, you had a matte book. You had a payphone. Did they give you like an allowance for like using the payphone if you needed to? Or did you have
No.
a radio though?
We had radios. Yeah, we had radios. Yeah, they had radio. Hey, we even had laptops back then when I first started out. They had just started with laptops. But man, I mean, it's crazy how it's evolved though.
It is.
Because when I mean, I'll tell you right now, when I first started, it was like, they'd give you a bottle of
Use
FP.
adult.
They'd give you a bottle of blue juice, man. And they would tell you, literally, they would say, listen, don't bring any feral cats in. And if you pick up a POR, which is a personal owner release, and it's not adoptable, it doesn't leave that van. It doesn't get here to the shelter
Alive.
alive. Mind you, bro, we used to, I mean, that was, and it ain't like that now. It's not like that any. It's not like that. Back then, you'd euthanize a lot. A lot.
We
Now,
used to
was
do
it the
some.
right way? I don't know, because I'm not gonna incriminate myself, but I wasn't, there was a lot of stuff that was done that, yeah, look at it now, like, okay, well, we shouldn't have been doing it like that.
Yeah, I'll tell a story so this way it doesn't incriminate you. But guys and gals that I used to work with in Denver, they would tell me stories. So now I'm not even nearly as close to being in this as long as you have. But I got to work with some of them that were, right, 30 years, etc. And they told me stories where they would take a dog, and the vet would go into the shelter, and basically, just by the way the dog looked, and point at it, be like, that one, and just pick the euthanasia that way. And then these and this is sad, because, like, I mean, you're a super compassionate guy, and I just know this to be true just from our conversations and such. And it's sad, because what they would do is they would get a dog on a choke chain or just a leash, what am I thinking of here, just a nylon,
Just the least.
and then pull it up by its head, and then the officer would come in and stick it right in the heart with the blue juice.
Oh my God.
No, there was no sedation.
That kind of makes me cringe, man.
It's tough, man, and they had to deal with that. And so, I don't
That's
know.
a wrong. That's a bad way, man. At least we would IP. Everything was IP back then. So that made, that kind of helped a little bit. But Now that I think about it, I was thinking about this the other day because we have a couple of rookies that have started and they took the basic, right? When I took my basic, it was 3 days. It was 2.5 days, right? And I remember I went to Amarillo to take it. And it was, of course, me and a couple of guys went together, and there was a local establishment that was not too far away that served beer and hot wings that we didn't have in Lubbock. So we wound up going over there and eating, and wound up drinking more than we should have. And then the next day, because it was the half day, we had to show up to take to do the test, right? To do this basic test. So back then, you would take the written test, and then after you take the written test, they had stations. So then you would have to go to one station, and you would literally have to decap an animal, whether it be a cat, a dog, or whatever, and you had to box it up and everything like you were going to send it off for testing, right? And then you would go to another one, and you would go to another station. There's somebody standing there with a clipboard looking at you, and there's a truck, and you would get the catch pole, and you would pull this. And they had this old, I'll never forget, man. He was like an old beagle. He was this big old fat lazy dog that's sitting there looking at us, and he had to put the pole on him. And he had to put it around his head, and around his head, and then around his leg, and then you had to pick him up and put him in the truck, release the pole, close it, and then he'd step back, and they say, "Okay, now take him out." And then you would have to put it back on him. And then take him out, and then put him back on the ground, and they were testing you on that. So that's, and now I think that class is what, like a day and a half or something like that here. Well, here in Texas, I don't even think it's a, I think it's a day.
8 hours, huh?
Yeah, I think it's like 8 hours, but
So,
back then it was longer. I'll tell you another thing that's funny. We met a guy that time, and I'll never forget this guy, man. He was the he was the water guy. He was the sewer guy. He was the code compliance guy. He was everything you could think of in the city. Plus, he was the dog catcher, right? And so this guy was like right there in between Amarillo and New Mexico, and I can't remember what the town was. And he was telling us about back then, he was that you could use carbon monoxide to euthanize. So this guy goes, "Hey man," he goes, y'all need to come check out my shelter and this and that and the other." So we were like, "Okay." Well, for some reason, we decided to go. We us three, the three of us, we went. And matter of fact, my buddies was, I mean, one was name was Corey, and the other one's name was Brent. I'll never forget those guys. They were pretty cool dudes. So we went over there to this guy's place, to this shelter, and it was just like a, it looked like a shack, man. Just a regular old shack. This dude had a 56 Chevrolet on blocks,
Oh no.
okay, a pickup
Oh
on blocks.
no.
He had a hose hooked up to the exhaust, and it had it going into this room looking thing. It looked like a freezer box, and he
Wow.
had that thing hooked up in there, and he opened it up, and then there was a bunch of crates, like just regular crates. Yeah, and he said he just turns it on, closes the door, he put the animals in there, leave it going for about 2 hours while he was cleaning and doing whatever he had to do. And
2 hours?
then 2 hours, bro. He said, well, that's what he said. It would take him at least an hour and a half or 2 hours because he would clean. So not only did he, this is the thing. This guy was, he would clean the shelter, and not only would he clean his shelter, he would go and clean the offices to the city offices and different stuff, different little areas, so he would take off and go do whatever. And then when he came back, there it was, man. And he did a lot, man. He said he would do a lot because he would
Isn't
do
it
the county
crazy
and the city.
how times have changed? I actually had a
Yeah.
case. I had a case not too long ago and got a guilty conviction. This dude took a raccoon, put it in a trap, and then put a plastic bag around the trap, and then tied it up to the car exhaust with a hose, and he killed it that way. And I was able to get him on cruelty charges for that, just because of the, that's not an approved method. You know what I mean? It might have been back in the day in Texas, but it's not an
Hey,
approved method.
I tell you what, I heard. I remember back then, bro. I remember a dude telling me one time that when he started in animal control. So you got to remember, this is '96, so this had to have been back in the '80s when he started, maybe the late '70s, early '80s. They would get the traps with skunks, and they would dip them in water. They would put them
Oh,
like in a tub
they
of
would
water.
drown them, right? Yeah.
They would drown them. Yeah, they would drown
Absolutely.
them, and feral cats. They would do feral cats as well.
Well, and not a lot of people notice, and I've been teaching this through some of my research. So back in New York City, when it was really bad with rabies and such, they didn't know how to do animal control. They had this guy, you can Google this, it's the 1811 law concerning dogs. And they would take dogs, even like up until late 1830s, if not even a little bit after that, they would take them, put them in cages, and then dunk them into East River. Put them there for
Oh
like
yeah.
six to 7 minutes
Yeah.
before they died.
Yep. Yep. Well, hey, you know the I guess it's kind of like common knowledge now, but you know that the child the like CPS and stuff actually branched off from animal control through New York
Yeah,
when they
so
were.
exactly. Henry Berg, he
Yep.
was brought in by this by a woman named Etta Wheeler.
Etta
She,
Wheeler. Yep.
yeah, she brought him in. So as far as the job goes, man, it seems like it's something you love. You could probably do it for another 20 years if you wanted, man. Like
Yeah, my
physically
body
wise,
listens.
you probably could. But what is like? Is there like a really happy memory? Something that we can switch up from some of that darkness?
The darkness.
Some of that darkness. So, just to give our listeners something positive before we wrap it up on this short supplemental additional report here.
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of it. I mean, I haven't had a lot of you know, I've had a lot of good times with this job, man. I'm not gonna lie. I met a lot of good people, man, as yourself, everybody else that I meet up with, man. I like talking to people. I like shooting the shit with them about stuff, about the work and everything. You know, I think one of the most one thing that kind of stands out to me, man, is one time I picked up this dog, right? And he was beat to hell. He looked like hammered whale shit, man. This dog was just had nails. I mean, his nails looked like they were that long, you know, and just beat the hell, you know. He was a what was it, a schnauzer,
Okay.
right? And he just looked like, I mean, he looked like hell, man. I mean, he had missing hair, nails was long, he was grumpy, was one eye was going blind and everything. So I picked this dog up way up north of Fort Worth, man, almost into Denton, you know.
Okay, sure.
And that's when microchips first came out, started coming out. That dog was one of the first dogs that was probably ever microchipped. And so, like, we just had scanners, and I remember, never forget, dude, I ran that scanner. It hits a microchip. So it's like, okay, well, cool. So then and back then we were still trying to figure out how to, you know, call the microchip companies and all that kind of stuff. So I call the microchip company and everything, and they gave me the name to this owner and stuff like that. And so I call these people up, and mind you know, Fort Worth's kind of big, so we're way up north. And so I call the people up and I tell them, hey, I got this dog. I forgot what the dog's name was. And I said, but anyway, it has a microchip and it comes back with your information on it. And the lady goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, well, yeah, it's this dog. And I kind of explained it to her. And she was like, oh, yeah, he's a schnauzer. And I said, I just looked at the dog. And I said, well, I guess he could have passed for a schnauzer at one time. But that was her dog, missing for 6 years. 6 years, man. And I'll never forget this. So I told her, I said, listen, where do you live? And she tells me she lives way in South Fort Worth, as far as South Fort Worth as you can get. Mind you, this dog is like, I mean, probably 15, 20 miles from this lady's house, way up north. And we're taking the dog. I remember taking the dog to her, man. And she's like, I pulled up to her house because, you know, we'll do that, you know. So I pull up to her house and she comes out, and I opened the door to the cage and everything. And she just looked. And it was weird because at first the dog was an ass. You know, he tried to bite me. He was trying to bite and snap and everything. And he started growling and, you know, making his noises and started throwing a fit, you know, a little bit and everything. And I opened up the, you know, had the doors open, and she started talking to him. And you should have seen the way this dog acted, man. It's like he stopped, and it's like he started looking up, like
He knew.
somebody's talking to me.
He
And then
knew.
all of a sudden, it's like his whole demeanor changed. I mean, it was like, dude, it was, I mean, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, but it was like his whole demeanor changed, and he was just like, hey, I recognize that voice. That's safety right there. And he started wagging his tail and just started going crazy, man. And I tell you what, dude, that was the happiest, one of the happiest moments I ever had doing this job, was looking at the face, looking the way that dog reacted, and looking at that woman's face, seeing her dog that she hadn't seen in 6 years, man.
Man, that is cool. That is
Yeah, that
super
was cool.
cool. Yeah,
Yeah, that
man.
was real cool.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing this, man. We appreciate just the you being so open about the job and just your history. 28 years doing this job is not easy. I wish, I don't know if there's a study out there, but I wish we knew what the average life of an ACO was. And I'd guess because of you, because of people like you that do it for so long, it's probably a little higher, probably like 3 years, on average. But, I've seen, and I'm sure you've seen, a lot of people just come and go. And
Man.
it takes a special person to do this. So here, I want to say personally, thank you for the hard work that you've done and continue to do. And I'm wishing you nothing but the best over the next 20 more years. You get, hit that 56, or wait, 76 years in the game, man. Dude, I met this guy today. He was 80. He was 80 years old. And I'll tell you what, he didn't look a year over, I would say maybe like 70. Like, and I know that probably doesn't seem like a lot to people, but he was just so young and vibrant and just full of life. And I asked him what his key to success was, of like staying young. And you know what he said to me? He was like, I don't worry about time like other people do. He was like, I just
I
live
try
in the
not to,
moment.
man.
He's like, just live in the moment. And I preach that all the time, no pun intended. But I preach that, where it's like time re doesn't really exist the same way that I think we measure it, or we define it, right? And so it's just interesting there. Well,
Yeah, it goes, I was thinking about this. It's funny that you brought this up because I was looking at one of the pages, one of the groups that I'm in, and I saw that where there was a young lady from, was it Leavenworth, Kansas,
okay.
that passed away, and she, she was the animal control officer, and I guess she took her own life, and it's sad, dude, because, I've actually known officers, not that, well, actually, there was one guy when I first started working here, and I had met him, and he worked there for 2 weeks, and then he was gone, never saw him again. And they found him. And it's one of those things where, like I try to tell people, man, if you need to talk to somebody, or you need to get something off your chest, or there's people out there that'll talk to you. People that's the one thing they need to understand, that we're not in this job, there's nobody doing this job that's by themselves. I can guarantee you that. Anybody out there that needs someone to talk to, man, you gotta do is call me. Whatever you're going through, I've probably been through it, and I can tell you right now, you can get over it, because if I'm here, it's not that big of a deal.
And just so our listeners know, you may people may not notice about you just hearing you on the podcast, but you are one of the most compassionate human beings I've ever been around, and you're not afraid to be vulnerable. So take Charles up on his word. If you have any things, anything you need to talk about, please, by all means,
Anything.
reach
I mean,
out.
that I'm not afraid to talk about anything. I just, if it's just somebody that you need to speak to about your personal life, or is this something that you need to speak to, just get off your chest, whatever it is, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. People will listen to you. I'm one of them. I'll be the first one. You need somebody, anybody out there. I don't care who it is. I don't care if you're the animal control officer in some little podunk town in Alaska, and you need somebody to reach out to. All you got to do is call me. You can find me on Facebook. You can get a hold of Daniel here, whatever. Hell, you can get a hold of Daniel. Daniel will talk to you. Daniel's a good dude, very good dude. I had the
I
privilege of meeting
appreciate
him,
that.
I mean, bro, you have no idea, man. That's like, it's like I tell people, I was like, you meet a lot of good people in this job, and I've met a lot of great people, and you're one of the great ones, man. So,
Coming
yeah,
from
but
you,
you
that
need.
means a lot, man. I appreciate you saying that, and nothing but respect to you, and nothing but more of the best for you. And even my dog agrees. He's over here.
I hear the dog
He's over
agrees.
here. He's over here saying the same thing. He's like, heck yeah, man. Well,
Hey,
again, man.
I'm actually putting a roping class together, man.
Oh, when are you doing that?
Well, I got it. I just got to. I got. I'm trying to get more video. I'm trying to get, because we got these cameras on our trucks now, and so we've got a couple of good, we've got a couple of good ropes coming in that people have done. So I'm trying to get my boss to download those so I can add them to the class and stuff, man. If anybody else out there that ropes, or we're gonna do a net as well. I mean, I don't know where the guys from, what was it that we saw the videos where those guys were netting those dogs at,
Oh man, he was killing it
Aberdeen, wasn't it?
too. Say again.
Were they from Pasadena or something like that? Pasadena or something?
I can't recall. I can picture him in my head,
Yeah.
but I can't recall exactly where he was. But they
Yeah.
had some
That
awesome videos of
was
those nets, man. Awesome
Yeah, those
videos.
nets. But yeah, I'm doing one of those, and I'm doing well, I got a dart class that I put together as well, but the roping ones I'm pretty excited about. Hey man, I just had I'm pretty proud a pretty proud teacher moment. One of the girls that works with me, man, I was showing her how to throw the rope and showing her how to throw the rope. I kept telling her, I said, Natalie, you're gonna catch a dog, so you better get ready, because she always has the nails, the fake nails.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I told her, I said, you better do something about those nails, because you one of these days you're gonna throw that rope and you're gonna nail one, and it's gonna give you some rope burn. It's gonna break a nail.
Yes, it
And
is.
sure enough, man, she got her rope last week, and I was pretty proud of her, man, because she calls me up. She goes, hey, you're not gonna believe this. And I was like, I don't know, what'd you do? Did you win the lottery? She's like, no. She goes, I roped the dog. I was like, what? So yeah.
I'll tell you what. As much as I love wearing my gloves, there's nothing in the world like getting a rope burn from catching a dog.
Get them all the
Well, dude, thanks so much, man. You're always welcome back on the show. This is a special moment. Again, we appreciate you for Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week and continue to wish you nothing but the best, my man.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You too, man. And everybody out there, I appreciate everything everybody does. Y'all stay safe.